Hear me, Dill? Okay. 2 weeks ago, I used, I was privileged enough to really speak about radical faith. And really, our faith has to be radicalized in such a way that just to say we believe in God without any action, it's not faith. You can check that out of James, who says such things. Last week I talked about radical thinking and our thought life and what we dwell on and how important it is for us to have our minds renewed so that we can know what God is saying and discern what His will is for our lives. Today I want to talk about radical love. Yeah, I'm about radicalization. I'm going to say something that's probably pretty radical. And it's from a movie that you probably would not think that I would quote. But there was a quote in there where it's from the movie John Wick. And one of the Russian mafia bosses said to him, "Well, John, are you back?" As he's about ready to be assassinated. And John says, "Yeah, I think I'm back. I think I'm really back." You know, and what had transpired was his wife had died from cancer. She gave him a last gift, which was a dog. This Russian mafia guy, his kid stole his car and killed his dog. And so he went on this whole thing of eliminating not only just the person who killed his dog, but all that organization. So to say that, I'm back. It's been 2 years. And I really believe, because the last real thing that I spoke about was being in a radical relationship with Jesus Christ, which means we have to have a radical love. So what is radical love according to the scriptures? Jesus is speaking. He says, "This is my commandment. Love one another the way I love you." This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. "You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you my friends because I let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relation to me, He gives to you. But remember, the root command is to love one another." Now, all of us have heard through the years, we've been in various churches, and somewhere along the line, we've heard about love, what Christian love is supposed to look like. But I'm going to tell you that what they preached about is not what Jesus is talking about. Radical love is something in which you lay down your life for your fellow man. So my question to you is, do you love me? Do you love Jesus? And of course everybody say, "Yeah, you know I love you. You know I love you." Well, isn't that what Peter said to Jesus? "Lord, you know I love you." Are you willing to lay down your life, not only for me, but for the King? Because you see, Pastor Richard laid down his life. There is no greater gift given to each and every one of us than the gift of salvation. And to think that we're going to save our neck by renouncing our salvation, you've got another thing coming. The world hates you. It hates me. The difference is, do I really love the Lord enough to trust that even when I find myself 14 years in prison, beaten, interrogated, malnutrition, clothes taken from us, rights taken from us. And what I'm describing is what is coming for us in this country. I will not preach greasy grace. This message of radical love has to do with everything of our personal edification and maturity in our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't do this, if I don't preach to you that this is the requirement of Jesus Christ, I have to stand before him and give an account why I didn't. Just like you will give an account as to why you don't. Radical love is not easy. I wrestle with it every day. And so do you. Except it's not the love of Jesus Christ. It's the love that we have for each other. Twice Jesus emphasized how important it is to love each other. Anytime a message is repeated, or you see a repeating of a certain thought, it emphasizes the importance of what is trying to be conveyed. Do we understand what he's talking about? Jesus clearly defines for us there is a separating of things. He calls us servants in some translations. Dill, could I have it back up, please? No, that's not the one. Thank you. He calls us servants and friends. But I tell you that there's a third party that's involved here that he does not talk about. And that is those who don't know him. So keep that in mind. A slave. What is a slave or a servant? A servant is a person who serves indiscriminately because that's his job. The master doesn't tell him what he has to do. He just does it. If he refuses to do what the master says, he suffers consequences of that of disobedience. All of us at one time were slaves. We didn't know the master's will. We didn't know what he wanted. We went around doing our own thing, and we loved from a fallen nature. Jesus doesn't call us servants or slaves. What does he call us? Friends. The word for friend is really unique. It means someone who's associated with an inner circle. A person who is part of a inner circle of the royal court. Who knows intimately his master's plans and purposes and has intimate relationship with that king or that superior. Do we have that relationship? Do we have that intimacy? Jesus showed us that he died for us because he loves us. How many times have we seen in Scripture where God wanted to start all over again? He wanted to start all over again, but he saved Noah and his family, destroyed the world. He wanted to start out again, but Israel wouldn't believe him. And so he said to Moses, you know, I'm going to wipe them all out and I'm going to start all over with you. And Moses pleaded with him saying that, you know, you did great and wondrous things in Egypt. If they hear what you are planning on doing to destroy your people, what will they say? And so God relented. Jesus states that we're his friends because we do what he says to do. You are my friends if you do the things I command you to do. That's kind of unique, isn't it? You see, the love that he's talking about has nothing to do with our emotions, our feelings. It has everything to do with our will. Are we willing to lay down our lives for each other first? Because that's what Jesus asked us to do. And this is a radical way of looking at things. It's a radical way of coming to an understanding that God is expecting something of us. He's expecting us to grow up and mature in his love. He saved you so that he can live in you for you to release him to the world. That's awesome. But yet we will not do the very things that he's telling us to do. Why? Because we have not matured. Like little children, we have not matured in understanding what the plans and purposes of God is. Plans and purposes of God is greater than what we could ever ask or imagine. But the plans of God are revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Do you understand this? That everything in the Word is his will for us. We just don't understand how to put the puzzle together. And one of the things I like to do jigsaw puzzles. How many like to do jigsaw puzzles? Yeah. I like to do jigsaw. Because, you know, the most encumbersome piece is probably the key piece in solving the puzzle. And each one of us has a piece of his puzzle. And it's bore out in the love. As we mature in love and grow in love, we sacrifice in love. It's not what I can receive. It's what I can give and serve. First, doing what the Lord has said to serve one another. We are part of his inner circle, and he desires for us to know his plans. Oswald Chambers said, "We are as close to God as we choose to be." Are you satisfied in your relationship with Jesus Christ? I have to tell you, I was put in time out for 2 years. Actually, more than that. I was put in time out for the last 7-8 years. Not because of my disobedience, because I did not let God do things in my life that he required. And so I suffered the consequences of my disobedience. No one did this to me but myself. I can't blame God. And I'm speaking of my health issues. There are certain things I would not want any of you to go through. And some of you have seen what I've had to personally go through to endure. But I would not yield or compromise the fact that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I began to seek him out and began to look at things in such a way that I never looked at before. I don't know about you, but I've come from that other side to agree with John Wick that I'm back. I'm back. Because of God. And now that may ruffle some people's feathers because they've seen what I was like before, and the radicalization of what is going to be required of all of us is going to soon take place. We should not be satisfied where we are. We should be pressing in deeper into God to have His love roll out of our lives. An example is found about this intimacy that Jesus is talking about is found in 2 Samuel 23:15-17. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So that three of his mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew the water of the well of Bethlehem, that was the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink, but poured it out to the Lord. We have here an example of the intimacy. Here are three men who heard the king say with longing, "Oh, I wish I had a drink from this water." He was in hot pursuit by Saul, the king, to kill him. And he was in the land of the Philistines who couldn't trust him. He was between a rock and a hard place, to put it mildly. And three of his men heard him say this, risked their own lives to accomplish the will of the king, or perceived will of the king. And what he did was he received it and he poured it out as an offering to God. Are you that intimate with the king, our king? What is it that God has said to you that you ever heard and said, "Man, I'm going to do this for God," and never get around to it? "I heard God say this to me, but..." There's no buts. It's, "I hear what the king said, I will do the very things that the king has said." That's love. It's a motivation of our will. Remember, I teach in prophetic people how God speaks and how we can recognize God speaking. He speaks to my heart, which enlightens my mind, that motivates my flesh to accomplish His will. Our flesh does not want to cooperate. Our flesh wants to do its own thing. We have a renewed spirit that God has put into us. And not only a renewed or regenerated spirit that He's put into us, He Himself, the fullness of God, dwells in each and every one of us, filled with dunamis power we call love. Are we acting like Jesus? Are we doing the very same things that Jesus says? Are we biblically His friends, or are we still His servants? Or are we waiting for someone to tell us about Christ? Jesus laid down His life for His friends and His enemies. And so should we. It's easy to learn to love one another because, well, after all, it's grace, you know. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. Grace is the motivating factor of our love to go and serve one another, to accomplish the king's plans. And we are beginning to enter into a place where we've said, Pastor Gary and I have said, that it's no longer a beachhead that we're trying to establish. That has been established. We are now beginning in the first courses to take the land. And each and every one of us has a part in taking that land. Love will always find a way, but indifference will find an excuse. Love will always find a way. And you have sat in my office and have told me why you can't do certain things. And I have repeatedly said to you, "Tell me what we can do." Love is looking for a way. Indifference. Indifference is a coldness of heart. Are we indifferent to the suffering of the world? We see it going on right now. There is a war going on for the soul of this nation. That is true. Breaking it down, it is the spirit of Christ against the spirit of Antichrist. Those who hate Jesus hate you and me. And they will not listen to the voice of reason. They want what they want, and God will give them what they want. We all start out as servants, but Jesus doesn't treat us as servants. Think about it. How does he treat you? With lots of grace. Like we do with our kids. We teach them by not reacting to their impotence or their unwillfulness to comply. We respond in love. We teach them. We show them how we're supposed to be. Jesus has esteemed us and lays his affection upon us. We heard it today, a testimony from Maura. She is a person of worth. Jesus has esteemed her. And he wants to esteem you and you and you and me even more than what we could ever ask or imagine. He has ordained us to go into the world as his personal ambassadors to tell others about him as king and his kingdom. And God has laid certain things upon our hearts as to who we should speak or who we shouldn't speak. But we say, that can't be God. God is not saying that to me. After all, I'm afraid. I it's not my anointing to speak to people. Your anointing manifests when you're obedient to the word of God and doing the things that he says. Your anointing that he's given to you is multiplied exponentially as you move in faith. If you're going to sit still and make an excuse, what that is a conviction of the coldness of your heart. You're saying my things are more important than Jesus. Are we going to be the one who buried our talent and be reprimanded? Or are we going to be the one who has given the talent and multiplied it? To hear the voice of the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well, I was just born again. I've only been in the Lord 2 weeks. It's more easier for you to share the love of Jesus than it is for me. Why? Because people see what's going on and build up a wall of resistance. Your zeal for God will overwhelm that wall and you will speak. Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, could a mariner sit idle if he heard a drowning cry? Could you? If you heard someone saying, help, help, would you let them drown or would you try to rescue them? Could a doctor sit in comfort and let his patient die? I need this operation, but the doctor failed to show up, so I guess I'm to die. There is not a doctor in the world who does not have compassion for the people who are ailing. He can't do that. He can't just sit by. Could a fireman sit idle and let men burn, giving no hand? Could you sit at ease in Zion, with the world around you, die? Could you? Could you? It is our job to figure out how to perform the will of God in love. Radical love. It is not by our fallen love, which stipulates conditions and things in which we will love. Are you going to love because that's what the king says, and because you know his heart is to save all men from their wickedness, knowing that many of them will perish. And it breaks the Lord's heart because he's offered this freedom to them to do this. This ministry was set up by John 13:35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Are we his disciples? Yeah, we are. We all lay claim to Jesus. More so, he lays claim to us. Love is the love is the hallmark of this ministry. And we learn to love through the purity of our hearts. Last week when we were doing the baptism, Pastor Gary said to me, he says, I want you to help me with the baptism. Little did he know that I'm working to ask Brother Ken to get ready to serve. See, my heart isn't to serve in the baptism. My heart is to make disciples of Jesus Christ. My job is to help people become better than what they are and to serve the King in greatness and in power and might. And then after the baptism, Pastor Gary says to me, I didn't want him to offend you. I said, you didn't offend me. I'm not thinking in that term. My term is what Jesus said, make disciples. Isn't that part of the Great Commission? It's not just getting people saved. It's pouring your life into those people so that they can go and save others. That's true love. That's true love that we're talking about. It's not just coming here and sitting in a pew and not doing the things that God has instructed us to do. That's called disobedience, rebellion. He loves us eternally in spite of ourselves. And this ministry is concerned about that. And as I stated in the beginning, I am more concerned about the apathy that is in the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm saved, me and my four and no more. That is pathetic. That is pathetic. My love for you is based on my love for the King. I will do what the King has instructed. I will do the best I possibly can. As we heard, it's not about perfection, it's about excellence. What is it that God is saying to you? Oh, I don't know, Pastor. God is speaking. Are you listening to him? What is he telling you? Write these things down. Who are you submitted to in authority? Because God wants the best for you to be involved in what he's doing because we're partnering in what he's doing. Or are we trying to separate ourselves because we know better than Jesus what's good for us? And I hate to tell you, we don't. We don't. Jesus knows better than any of us. Apathy is a concern more about me and my wants instead of what Christ wants. It's cold. It looks for an excuse for no involvement. And here in the local church, we need to understand that each and every person has a gift and a calling. We have to figure out and find that place in which Jesus is calling each and every one of us. In serving Christ, we must constantly examine our hearts and our motives. And I have to tell you, this is not easy. Because if we love Jesus, and we all lay claim to that, we need to step it up a little bit more. Because the world is going to come in with a steamroller and try to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. And I know Romans says nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing. But I'm saying you make that decision. Remember years ago I used to say each and every person has a price. What are you willing to receive so that you don't have to go through some things? That's the compromise. If you settle in your heart that nothing is going to change, I'm going to live as a burning fire, then that burning fire consists of love. The Savior wants us to be more than experiences and wants more than our wants and desires to be fulfilled. What truly matters is His will being done on earth as it is already being done in heaven. He is the King. We are His subjects, but we are His intimate friends who should know without a shadow of a doubt what the wishes of our King is. We should not have to learn it from somebody else and pick and choose whether I'm going to be obedient to it or not. You see, intimacy, and I've looked at relationships, intimacy has to deal with knowing the intimate thoughts of a friend and then taking those things, those purposes, and making them our own. Maybe we're not really there yet to think that this is what Jesus is requiring, but this is what He is requiring, because I don't see disobedience in heaven. When He speaks, everybody jumps to, or as Pastor Gary says, how high. So should we. Do we love God? I believe we do. It's now time for us to serve Him, to do His will on this earth. Nothing more and nothing less. If you would like prayer, we would pray. I know I've given you guys a lot to think about these past several weeks.